This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the 1912 Exiles podcast, the Newport County podcast made by the fans for the fans. I'm Ed. Coming up in this episode, we've got Ian's match diary from Grimsby last weekend, as well as my match diary from the Accrington game, which hasn't happened yet. This is going to be a chronologically confusing episode because I'm recording this bit on Tuesday morning. Then we're going to jump back to Ian on Saturday before finishing off in the future on Tuesday night. So I feel a little bit like Doctor Who. But before we come to Ian, there are a few bits of business which I thought I would pick up on. First of all, as always, thank you to everyone who's donated on the Ko-fi. You know who you are. We've also recently put up onto the shop our new sticker packs, which are available for a very reasonable £5, including postage. So even if you've not given before to the pod, do spare us the equivalent of a pint of expensive beer, and we will send you some stickers through the post. There is a link in the show notes. What else has been happening this week? Well, the club accounts came out for the 2022-23 season, where Newport County showed a loss of around £900,000. That was in line with what we were told at trust meetings around the same time, so it wasn't really a surprise. More interesting, though, was the revelation that staging costs at Rodney Parade for matches had gone up by 39% during that period. And, Mr. Jenkins' statement, which followed, talked about the staging costs being unsustainable, indicated that talks continue between County and the Dragons about how those costs might be mitigated. That was the kind of backdrop to yesterday's announcement of season ticket renewal prices. There's a freeze for adults, but a few changes elsewhere. The club have decided, sensibly, I think, in my view, to not open the North Terrace for low-demand games next season in order to cut stewarding costs. I suspect there may be other ideas afoot to think about how we can maximise things so we don't spread the 4,000 to 5,000 people we usually get around a huge area which all needs stewarding. The removal of free season tickets for under-sixes was, from what the press release implied, another move in that same direction, because I think there's a lot of seats which are effectively reserved all season but are not always being used. Some of the other changes have been understandable but a bit controversial. Those of us with kids in the 7 to 11 age bracket will see prices double basically next season, as the club establishes just one pricing category for under 16s, and there's a plan to raise the age of senior tickets from 60 plus to 65 plus, although existing seniors on the borderline who renew rather than buying fresh will have the old prices honoured. So for what it's worth, even though I'm one of the minority who are worse off, season tickets for me and my boys will go up by just over £50. I think there's a clear rationale there. I thought we'd see increases across the board to reflect inflation. And I just hope we're not storing up a bigger jump when the club do have to bring in some sort of inflationary increase in the future. But I support the message because I think the message is basically buy a season ticket whilst they remain good value, because individual matches might rise. And if it leads to us continuing to boost our numbers of season ticket holders, then happy days. Other news, well, we had the trust survey being sent out to members, although the hyperlink within it was Duff, which can cause some initial confusion, but mistakes happen. It's unfortunate. It's not the end of the world. People were sharing the correct link to be helpful, and I guess that means there's a bit of a risk that some non-trust members might end up responding, but I guess that's probably... it's probably better to have that than to have a low turnout. It's a short survey. Do reply if you haven't already, and you're a trust member. Make sure you have your say. Equally important as the survey is the need for people to put themselves forward for election to the Supporters Trust when nominations open. As always, there is an open invitation on here for any existing directors to come on and talk about the work they do, what it involves, and what skills the trust particularly needs. We've made that offer before. We'll make it again today. Our door is always open. That, I think, is more or less it on the county front in terms of a preamble. We'll have our usual four-question preview later in the week for the Tranmere Rovers game, and that'll be on our social media channels, so you know what to expect from Saturday's visitors. The only other thing I just wanted to mention was an update about Newport City Women, who you may remember we had on the pod in episode 168 at the start of the year. Their season is still on course to be a very successful one. Last weekend, they won their quarter-final of the South Wales Women's League Trophy, and they're also still going strong in the league, hoping for promotion. So the chase for the double is very much on. The big game in that league, and it really is massive, is going to be against Pennebont Women on 21st of April. Those are the two teams who are at the top of that league. Pennebont are top currently, so it's a must-win for City if they want to overhaul them. And, yeah, I know that they would absolutely love your support for that game. I saw them play a cup match in Cardiff earlier in the season, and it was great entertainment. So if you can get down on Sunday, 21st of April at 2 p.m. and give them a cheer, then, yeah, please do. I think it'll be at the Velodrome, but we'll tweet nearer the time to confirm. But, yeah, pop that date in your diary, 21st of April. Right. I think that's the intro done. So let's hear from Ian, who made the long trip to Blundell Park on Saturday for a blustery afternoon in a game where Newport were more exposed than a Tory MP. According to friend of the pod, Stu, it was Grimsby who took the points and consigned us to our fourth defeat in a row. So let's hand over to Ian and hear what he made of it.
So, welcome to the north, probably north or east today. 2 weeks ago, was it? I was schlepping as far west as I could go till I basically hit the Irish Sea. Today, I'm going as far east as I can go. And I am literally on the banks of the Humber. The waves are lapping in. It's slightly muddy brown. Not quite as muddy as the River Usk, but getting there. Training strikes and one-all today, but I was never doing that because, for those who might remember, my mate Steve, Grimsby Steve, long-suffering Grimsby fan, last year he came across, brought me over it, and he came in the away end with us to watch it. So this today, I am, whisper it, I'm going in with the Grimsby fans, so I might not be able to record much. I'm going to be keeping my mouth shut and be sitting on my hands. But this is a massive game for Grimsby. It's not really much for us. They're having a bit of a panicky season, are they? And to be fair, I thought, which shows what I know about football, that they'd be challenging for the playoffs. You know, well-run club, big support, quarter-final of the FA Cup last year. It's all gone wrong, Steve. What's happened? Can you sum that up, surely?
How long have you got? Firstly, I'd like to say thank you for having me on your award-nominated podcast again. So what's happened this season? I would say a lot. I think we had a lot of expectation after the last couple of years in the league, a lot of momentum. And then in the summer, we had a big change around in our squad. Paul Hurst brought in a lot of new players. The owners tried this sort of, brought in a recruitment specialist as well. I think there was a bit of sort of misalignment in terms of recruitment strategy, so we ended up with a lot of players that Hurst wanted plus a couple sprinkled in, and the intention was to move away from this sort of plucky underdog defensive team that we're very good at being, try and be more possession based, and it just didn't really work from the get-go. So it cost Hurst his job sort of midway through the season. Appointed David Auertel,
who a lot of us thought, oh, that's a good appointment.
So did we. And it's been very open now. He came in, he did all right the first couple of games. And then he essentially tried to make us play sort of total football, and it was just too soon. We didn't have the players to do it. And he kept saying, we've got to stick with it. It'll take time. And the results were getting worse and worse. We had a run of home defeats. We were getting spanked 5-1 by Waterstones, 6-1 by somebody else, 3-1 by Stockport. It was just this awful run. And then Auertel finally sort of caved in, and everything went back to sort of Hurst-style tactics, if you like. So we were trying to eke out the points. And again, like, we're harder to beat now, but we're still not getting the wins, and it's getting very hairy because teams below us that seemingly were gone and buried, got nothing left, you know, might as well just go for it. They're picking up 3-0 wins while we're holding on for draws. So we're in that kind of position where we're holding on to an ever-decreasing points lead, and those other teams around us are catching up because they feel like they've got nothing to lose. And today is probably the biggest game of our season now. Like, we've just got to win. We've got one home game after this, and I think four away games. We've won once away all season. So I personally, I'm not that positive about our chances of staying up as much as I want us to, but it would just be such a massive step back after getting out the National League last time, and, you know, getting new owners, getting to the quarterfinal of the Cup. This was supposed to be that year where we finally kicked on and stopped being that team that always finished 20th in League Two. And where are we now? About 20th in League Two. We just can't get past that.
What I would say is that, you know, we, a few weeks ago, if we'd have been coming over, I was thinking we'll win this. I have to say, much as I'm positive, I'm not very confident today because of the massive run of injuries we've got. We're playing pretty much a makeshift back five. We're lacking bodies in midfield, although we've got a lot of strikers. So if you know, today we've lost three on the bounce, so quite badly. So if you're going to beat us, today's the day, I think.
I hope so. I've noticed that we've got Charles Vernon back, who's been injured for quite a while. He's one player who's pacey and got a bit of trickery. We've really been lacking any creativity for quite a long time, so hopefully he can make something happen.
And we always like to buy a Grimsby player, but ideally, you know, a striker. I think you've got another one lined up for us, haven't you?
Yeah, Danny Rose has been our player of the season. He's just the hardest working player I think we've had for a few years. Just runs himself into the ground. Great in the air, even though he's not that tall. A real sort of fox in the box type player. He's been one of the very few positives about this season for us. Luckily, he's under contract for another year. We might not fancy it in the National League, so you might have a chance.
Yeah, well, you know, Jenks, if you want to snaffle a striker, there he is. We can't go to the game and having a little conversation about Bryn Morris, who some of the Grimsby fans were a little bit missive when we signed him. You were always more complimentary and said he'd do a job for us, and he has. He's played in 52 games, 51 of which he started for us this season. He's been Mr. Reliable. So what's the view now for the Grimsby fans?
Well, yeah, I thought he was all right. He was always a solid player, didn't make many mistakes, kept the ball sort of ticking over. And ironically, now that's the exact sort of player that we really need, because we just can't keep hold of the ball at all. We signed someone who we thought was going to be an upgrade on him, but he was a young player and he didn't really affect the team that much. Kamal Conte was called. We sold him at Christmas time to Bristol Rovers. But Bryn Morris is the sort of player that we're really missing right now. Just somebody who's solid and reliable in the middle, because I think that's the real weak point in our team. But I would say that Hurst brought him in, and I know he was part of Hurst's team when Shrewsbury had like a real run in the playoffs in League One. He was one of their key players, so I always thought there must be something about him. And, you know, I think he probably just needs a run of games and trust to the manager to sort of realise that ability.
Yeah, I mean, arguably he's been our player of the season, I think. We'll have a debate about that, but he's been really good. That classic 7 out of 10 every week, rather than doesn't have brilliant games, doesn't have rubbish ones. But as we all say, he scores a lot of maggots as well. He's got quite a few goals for us So yeah, he'd be interesting there. And of course the Bogle, he's lurking about as well, who, you know.
He, well, I mean, this has been the first year that there hasn't been a rumour about him coming back to us, potentially. I think he's a totally different player now, isn't he?
Yeah.
To me, when I see him play for you, he looks like a strong target man. Whereas when we had him, he was quick and ran the channels and took players on a lot more. His career's been weird, hasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, he went up to Wigan and Cardiff and then came down just as quickly. And
yeah.
I think he's played for Newport longer than he's played for anyone, yeah. to be honest.
Yeah.
So, again, in previous seasons, I would have said we'd have him back in a heartbeat. This is the one season where maybe, obviously we'd take him, but he probably wouldn't get in the starting 11 straight away.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's always loved at Grimsby for his scoring those goals when the time before last when we won the playoffs. We might need him back to win it again at this rate.
So we can before we talk about floodlights, because I can see them from here, we're on the sea wall at Cleethorpes, because obviously, as everyone should know, Grimsby, the ground isn't in Grimsby, it's in Cleethorpes. So floodlight watch, these are the doyen of Division 4 floodlights. Absolute what floodlights should be. Proper stanchions, proper arrays, one in each corner. You know, evening games, they'll be shining out, you'll be able to see the ground, navigate your way to it perfectly. Steve knows a bit about them, don't you, Steve? Tell us a little bit about these. Have we got time before we get to the ground? We do, I think.
We're all right.
Tell us about the floodlights.
I think I told this last time, but I did check up on it afterwards. So, yeah, the floodlights were bought secondhand from Wolves in 1958, I think. And prior to that, Wolves had used them for the first ever floodlit games. They'd played some friendlies against the sort of hungry...
Yeah, Honvéd, didn't they,
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah. And then we bought them second-hand when Wolves upgraded. So they've been at Grimsby since 1960. And the first league game where they were used was against some team called Newport County.
Get in there.
In the September 1960, apparently. But they're not as glorious as they used to be. I think I said this before. So about 5 years ago, we sort of chopped them in half because the old ones didn't light the pitch up enough. When we got one of the times when we got back into League Two, to meet the ground standards, we had to improve lighting. So we chopped them in half and stuck a new set of lights on the top. So they used to be even more glorious, and they were painted sort of in black and white sections. The top bit was painted red, and you could see them from anywhere in the town. You need to get a bit closer now. They still look great, but they're not as good as they used to be.
Yeah, they're still better than most. So score predictions, we have to talk about that. I think this could be anything today. Could be 0-0, could be 5-5. I've got no idea what could happen because I haven't seen our team yet, but I think it's probably going to be a bit funky. So what are you thinking today, Steve? You've got to win, haven't you?
We have to win. We haven't scored many goals recently. With us, what tends to happen is we need to survive the first 15, 20 minutes. So those games where we've been absolutely spanked, we've always gone two down in the first 10, 15 minutes. So even Barrow away and Wrexham at home recently, we were two down within 20 minutes both times. If we can make it to 20 minutes at 0-0, I'd say maybe a 1-0 win. That's what I'm praying for. I'm not hopeful we'll score a lot of goals. And you apparently have got a ton of strikers, so I don't know if I'm being optimistic.
We might have a ton of strikers, but we ain't got any defenders, and that's the thing. So I think there will be goals, but I think there won't be a hatful. I never go for a draw, but I think it might be 1-1 today. Maybe Jeffcott. I keep saying Jeffcott's going to get his first for us. So maybe Jeffcott. I think I've heard he's in the starting lineup. So he needs to get one at some point. Right, we're going to have a little wander down. I tell you what, it's glorious weather here. I've brought me big coat. I've heard there was a storm on the way. Sun's out. I hope we're undercover because my noggin's going to get burnt. It's absolutely beautiful. I've never seen the Humber looking so majestic. But yeah, cracking stuff. So let's get down to the ground, see what it's all about.
So 1-0 Grimsby, half time. Fairly scrappy half. Wind's playing a factor. Grimsby have had the wind in the half. Their striker for them, Danny Rose, is looking a bit of a live wire. What have you thought about it, Steve? Bit tense, bit scrappy.
Yeah, we're all tense. I agree. Danny Rose has been really good. We've definitely had most of the play, but the wind's a massive factor. Like, it's really holding the ball up. Your defenders look like they're struggling with the longer balls. The ball's moving around a lot in the air. It sort of gave us the goal. The ball held up. The defender and the goalie looked a bit confused, and Rose nipped in. and then going the other way. You've had a couple of like snapshots that have been well saved, a couple of whipped in crosses, but I'm nervous for the second half because we're going to be pinned in if this wind carries on. You've got loads of strikers apparently. We're shaky at the back. We've given away loads of points from winning positions this season, so definitely still a lot to play for.
What about this number 10 who looks he looks a really useful player to me?
Yeah, I said at the start, Charles Vernon, he's barely played this season, but he looks like he's on it today when he's had the ball into his feet. And I think we are targeting your right back. He looks nervous, the number 14, like you said before, he'd not really played very much. So I think it depends now how long Vernon can keep going, because this is, I think, his second start of the season. He's not going to last than full 90. We haven't really got any other players that can play on that wing and go at him in that way. Maybe Moisa on the bench, although he's more of a one-trick pony, just cuts in on his right and shoots. It's a bit easier to stop. Vernon's gone past your right back a couple of times and got in very dangerous positions, hasn't he?
So, your prediction was 1-0, mine was 1-1, I think. Both still on.
Yeah, this happened last time, didn't it?
Right, let's see what. Well, we're looking to see if the wind's going to change direction, because if not, it could be interesting. Right, let's see how it goes second half.
So, if we got what we deserve from that, absolutely nothing. Might have had the wind in the second half, but we got bobbins, to be fair. Poor old Steve next to me. His phone kept going off, or his watch kept going off, because his heart rate was over what it should be. How are you feeling now, Steve?
I've calmed down now. It's next to the sea. It's all very calm and collected, isn't it? But what an awful game.
What an awful game. It was poor. That was, at one point, we said this is like peak. Division 4 football breaking out, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. Just ball sort of in the air all the time. No one really knew where it was going because it was so windy. They're just leading another short set. And I think we had a short set, but we had a few chances actually, didn't we?
You had a few where you were like, almost like, I don't know what was going on there. They looked like you were cleared through, or the scrabbling, and then you know, like, oh, it's an open goal, and then Townsend just seemed to fling himself, or you just hit him, or I don't know.
He made in about the space of 5 minutes, he made three really good saves, didn't he? And then that was the end of all the chances.
That was the action.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. You had one free kick, I think that was it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, one free kick. And at one point, brilliantly, we brought Matty Bonswell on, and he got beaten by the ball boy on the touchline, which sort of summed things up, didn't it?
Yeah, that was the most entertaining part of the second half. I don't know what was going on, but yeah, there was a kid in a Grimsby away shirt running down the wing with an extra ball at some point. No idea what happened.
Yeah, that was weird. But results have also gone your way, and so, you know, you're looking all right.
Definitely, yeah. Sutton, Forest Green, Colchester all lost, so hopefully we can do this again next season. And how was it for you not sat with your fellow Newport County fans? You were very quiet. There was some very polite applauding at times.
Well, I didn't really feel that I could really say what I was thinking where I was sat. It was a very weird experience, to be honest with you. I've never done that before. Luckily, to a certain extent, there was absolutely nothing to cheer or to get excited about. So I was really just watching on as like an impassioned sort of observer, really, because it was. I mean, I like Blundell Park. I think it's a great ground, and that stand we were sat in, he was saying like sort of part wooden at the back and incredibly old, and you know, like tiny little corridors everywhere. It's a really characterful ground, so you know, it was good to do that. And I don't think I'd have been any different if I'd have been sat with the Newport fans, because it was, from our perspective, it was poor, and it was good sat with you watching the tension you're going through, because we've all been there, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely. You did a very good job as a sort of undercover Newport fan. Make a good undercover detective. No suspicions raised at all.
Right, so the sun is still shining. We're going to stroll our way back down the seawall, down the edge of the Humber, then head our way back over to Leeds, and hopefully we'll be able to do this again next season. So, yeah, all the best the rest of the season, Steve. Thanks for coming on today.
Cheers. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Thanks, as always, Ian. Listeners, you'll have to take my word for it, but I had to do an awful lot of work to edit out the amount of wind you could hear in those clips. It really was blowing a gale for poor Ian. A very long trip with very little to show for it. The only good news, I suppose, and I think it was Chris Davis who was saying this over the weekend, is that if you're going to show relegation form, it's probably best to do it once you're safe from relegation. Grimsby fans were saying to us after the game that it must be nice for us now to just be relaxing and winding down with safety assured. Obviously, it's not, because we're losing games, but I suppose if we can get a couple of wins out of the last four matches, then they probably have got a point. And the next three matches surely give us that opportunity. They're all at home, all against teams with nothing to play for. The question seems to be whether we should be giving game time to some of the young kids, your Rye's, your Sankers, your Norris's. But for me, that's kind of caveated a little bit. We do badly need a win just to stop the rot, just to ensure we don't go into the summer with discontent around the place, because it can really sap the life out of things. I want us to start tonight with our strongest possible 11, which might mean playing a few out of position, maybe Evans on the left, so we've got some experience and strength in there. If we're two or three goals to the good, great, bring on the youngsters, but let's just get back to winning ways first. But right, that's enough for now. I'm going to pick the thread up later on in Newport, pre-match.
Right, so we're in the Mary Celeste of the Hazel Stand. I was just chatting to a friend of the pod, Daniel, long-time subscriber through Ko-Fi. And we were saying this is for the diehards tonight. We're now about 10 minutes from kickoff. Until 5 minutes ago, there was almost no one under here. It was deadly. Predictions for attendance have been low. I'm going to ask all. I've got Ollie, Chris, and Stu with me. I'm going to ask you all for an attendance prediction. I'm going sub 3,000. I think this is going to be really, really, really poor. Ollie, you've already made a guess, I think.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what I've gone for, but I think I've gone 3,900 total and 123 away. I think it's right what you said. I think the next four games really are for the diehards. We're in a position where we're definitely not going up, we're definitely not going down, and we're playing teams who haven't really got anything to play for. So it's just coming along and having 90 minutes of watching football and probably hope to see a goal.
And it's a Tuesday night, and it's against Accrington, and we're at home on the Saturday. Like, everything's against us. Stu, what's your number?
I think early 3,000s, because they're not going to have many fans, because their season's over as well. Yeah. So 3,200, 3,250.
Chris?
Yeah, it's a bit of a dead rubber on it, so I think maybe early 3,000s, but 2,900 maybe.
2,900, I'm with you, somewhere around the 2,900 mark. And lineup wise,
weird.
So we saw the keepers come out for their warm up, and we went, "Oh, Nick Townsend looks a bit grumpy." And then 5 minutes later, we're like, "Oh, that's why." So, do we think this is Maxted playing for a contract?
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason to drop Townsend, no. So it can't be a bad thing for Townsend.
Yeah.
It must be just to see what Maxted could offer, I guess. Yeah. It doesn't make sense otherwise.
And then lineup wise, I was trying to work, do we think it's a 4-4-2?
It's got to be a back four, because we've got two left backs and neither of them can play right back.
Yeah,
I don't think so. I think 4-2-3-1 maybe, with Bonsby on the left.
Okay, I was thinking possible 4-4-2 with Scouse Lewis as the left back and Bonswell as the left mid in front of him.
That's the combination that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe Charlie on the right, maybe on the other side.
Yeah,
it's going to be an interesting one.
And up front, Bogle and Seb. Now, Daniel was just saying, have those two played up front this season together as a two? I was thinking they might have done like if one of them's come off the bench.
Off the bench on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was that?
Well, not really sure what your answer is expecting you, Ed, but I don't think it's one that can be broadcast on the pod. I'll say something bold here. I feel like this is the most interesting part of the season. When you've not got anything to play for and assessing who's staying for that season and who's going, you start to see these more interesting combinations, like playing two traditional left-backs, playing two strikers you haven't played with each other before. We'll probably see Nelson Tank and Jack Norris get a few minutes. So it's hard to predict what we're going to see, but it is going to be interesting nonetheless.
Yeah, I was saying in the intro, I'm just desperate for us to chalk up a couple of wins. We got these three games all against other teams with nothing to play for. I thought we might go for an experienced 11 tonight to just try and grind a win out. But Chris, go on then, predictions. What are you thinking? What's going to happen?
I think we might sneak it actually 1-0. I know we're not scoring a lot of goals at the moment, but being at home as well, I think maybe we'll sneak it 1-0. Yeah.
A win and 3 points and a clean sheet would be absolutely fine for me. Stu?
Yeah, I think so. It feels like a kind of Spotify game.
Yeah.
I don't like them, but like Ollie said, I quite enjoy Spotify games on a tiny level, just because you get to see weird things happen, weird combinations, and that weird part of my brain enjoys that.
I'm going to go 2-0. I'm going to go for a goal right at the start, whole lot of nothing, and then a goal right at the end.
We're talking about weird things that we might not be expecting. I mean, yeah, who knows? Alien invasion, streaker on the pitch. Daniel, what are you predicting?
2-1.
You always go 2-1.
Yeah.
Who's scoring?
Bogle for both goals, I'd say.
Bogle with a brace. All right, we'll settle for that. Let's see what happens. So we're 25 minutes into the half, and it was all going so well. We're 1-0 up. Harry Charlesley playing in a much more advanced role than we expected. I thought he was going to be starting on the right, but actually he's been playing centre mid, very up front, almost up with the front two at times. And he did some great build-up play, played it off to Bryn Morris, who, as we know, only scores bangers, and indeed then scored a banger. And we were 1-0 up, cruising, hadn't really had to find second gear, at which point I thought, all right, I'm going to nip to the loo and get a cup of tea. And I come back and it's 1-1. So what happened, Dan?
Lovely pass to Bogle, but then they just got it instantly and ran up the pitch and scored it.
So we just kind of switched off, did we?
Yeah.
And yeah, now we've started panicking. Like we were dominating the game, controlling it, dictating the tempo. And yeah, now we kind of look at sixes and sevens a little bit. Can't quite work out what's happened. Frustrating. Right, substitution being made in first half injury time, and it's Evans on for Bonswell. Bonswell hauled down a Stanley midfielder, got booked for it and injured himself in the process. And I think if I had to guess what that injury was, it was probably a slightly bruised pride more than anything, because he started well, Bonswell, but by the end he looked short on confidence. Evans on. Evans on, one would imagine, to kind of cover that same left wing role, which is where I probably would have started him tonight, to be honest. So, we'll have the whistle any moment for half time. And it's 1-1, but with, one change for the county. Right, half time analysis then with Ollie. Tell me what happened, because I missed it. The goal we let in, my eldest told me. There was a bit of a misplaced pass to Bogle, and then it was just ball through the middle and we switched off. Was it that?
Yeah, it sort of felt like it was just a little break in communications, and Bogle will probably get a lot of the blame for him, rightfully so, but you could argue it was against a run of play considering how we played the first 15 minutes, how well Bryn took his goal. And ever since then we've not really looked the same team. We sort of started the better, and then once they got back into the game, we've sunk down to their level.
Yeah. I mean, there are a few decent moments right towards the end of the half, but yeah, completely agree. We just lost our momentum, lost our rhythm. If I was finding positives, it would be that I think Harry Charsley, Mr. HWJ Charsley Esquire, using his full title, has looked, I guess, the best I've seen him play for months. He looks like the player of last year. I don't know what you thought.
Yeah, it looks like he's finally got back to fitness. There's a few players you can tell have not been fully fit for the last few months, but they're playing out of possibly necessity, but it looks like they're all just coming back to fitness, typically at the back end of the season when there's nothing to play for.
And speaking of fitness, we were saying just before I hit record that Matty Bonswell going off, do we think that's going to be the last we see of him? Whether that's a serious injury or not, I don't know, but it looked like that probably was him. You could see him mentally tuning out, it felt to me, with that.
Well, we mentioned earlier in the pod that this game is truly one for the diehards, and I think that sums up where Matty Bonswell's going to be next season.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait and see what happens second half. I don't know, it feels like it's there for the taking. Like, I definitely think we could come away from this with a couple more goals and 3 points quite easily, but we just need to find that extra gear that we never quite slid into.
Yeah, I definitely think one or two changes needs to be made, but for where we are, we've not done much wrong. It's just the simple errors that always seem to haunt us.
Yeah. Well, translate that into Welsh and make it the club badge for next season. simple individual mistakes. All right, we'll see. We'll get a cup of tea and see what happens second half.
That's okay.
Right, I'm joined by podcast royalty, Ambrani. How you doing?
Oh, we're very well. Thank you, Ed. Very well indeed.
What are you making of this? Give me your halftime thoughts.
So really didn't know what I was going to expect coming in tonight. Really low levels of expectation.
Low levels of crowd?
Absolutely, yeah. Rent a crowd, definitely. It's not short of a couple of seats up here in the Hazel stand. We actually did okay, set up quite weirdly. So the tactics truck is quite unusual for us.
Yeah,
I reckon
there's
a bit of a 4-5-1. Not sure it totally worked. And then you have an absolute screamer from Bryn just to set us on our way. But yeah, normal service resumed. I don't think we've got any kind of decisions out of the ref. Coughlin's going absolutely mental.
Is he? I hadn't noticed that, but someone else had said something similar at halftime.
I definitely reckon there's a couple of quid gone in the pound box, in the swear box. Yeah, and then they scored a good goal, came back into it. We haven't really been able to hang on to the ball, so Bogle's looked a bit out of sorts up front.
I thought Bogle... There were a couple, early on, first 15 minutes, showed a couple of good touches, and then it's like just the confidence evaporated. It's so fragile, isn't it, that, you know, when you're on a bad run like we are, you play all right, you go a goal up, and then suddenly you switch off for 1 minute, and then the whole edifice just crumbles then.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We've looked a bit kind of fragile at the back. Harrison Bright's looked a bit vulnerable our right side, down their left. And then, as you say, Bogle's a bit up there on his own. He's looking for free kicks, and the ref's clearly decided he's not going to give anything away. Definitely an Argentina fan. And
we were saying, yeah, that Accrington away kit, it's very, very Argentinary, but no Messi, I don't think, in their side.
No, we haven't seen any so far, and Nolan definitely should have kind of worn his boots. He's got new boots on, Nolan, playing down the right side for them, and he definitely should have worn them in the kitchen for a couple of hours before putting them on tonight. Looked like him giving him terrible trouble. But yeah, we haven't really managed to get past Bogle for the layoffs, and it hasn't quite worked for us.
I still think we could come good in this. It needs someone to step up. It's one of those, isn't it? It's kind of a cometh the hour, cometh the man sort of game. Someone can stamp their mark on this and make a name for themselves.
Yeah, we've been good in places. I think Kyle Jameson's looked really good at the back.
Yeah.
And if you do get a chance to have a look at the goal on the highlights package, it's an absolute crap belter from the Scott Bennett making a sliding tackle with a through ball to...
Charlesley's run, and then
he held it up sensibly, laid off Bryn Morris into storming goal. Hope to see another three or four of those second half, and we'll go home happy, I reckon.
That'll do. Cheers, Ernie. Thanks a lot.
Nice win.
And no sooner do we stop recording than I start recording again, because we made a half-time substitution. Bogle off, Zanzala on. So Arnie was a bit less impressed by Bogle than I was. I thought he did all right, but I suspect that's more about fitness than anything else, because Bogle, I think, is still coming back from injury. So yeah, Zanzala on half-time. I don't know, I feel like we've got Evans now lining up on the right-hand side. Evans on the pitch, Zanzala on the pitch, Palmer holding on the pitch. Charsley still playing quite an advanced role.
feels like we got a lot of attacking intent now. Oh, what's that, 20 seconds, 30 seconds into the half? Houghton has scored. Just we weren't switched on again at the back. No one quite picking players up. Everyone leaving it to someone else to do. Fools their player, and he's got all the time in the world to control it on his chest, turn, volley it past Maxted, and we feels like our lot's still in the dressing room.
Goodness me, 55 minutes. How is that not 3-1? The bit of a mix-up in defence again. And yeah, and it came to the actor number 17, who unmarked in the penalty area all the time in the world and blazed it over the back of the North Terrace. We are kind of clinging on for dear life here. We're just, nothing's quite coming off. Stanley are pinging crosses in unimpeded. And yeah, we haven't got an outlet at the moment. Zanzala's running his little socks off. But yeah, there's just no one is getting hold of the ball, imposing himself on the game. Yeah, this is a tough watch. And this time it is 3-1 with what looked the most offside goal you could ever hope to see. Doesn't excuse County switching off again at the back. Cross came in, no one picked up the man on the back stick. And yeah, his header was tucked home by a man who was on the line, and I cannot see how that wouldn't have been offside. He was basically stood within the goal mouth. So, but we've only got ourselves to blame again. You know, maybe we've not had the rubber green on decisions. Maybe the ball hasn't fallen our way a few times. But we have been the architects of our own downfall tonight. Make no mistake. It's just chaos at the back. Even with Adam Lewis, Carl Jameson, and Countryfire. You know, that's three experienced defenders there. But we just call it a C. Referee, meanwhile, is trying to restart play whilst Maxted is receiving treatment in the county goal. No one is covering themselves in glory tonight at all.
Kyle Jameson, of all people, as we come into the 79th minute, just managed a shot on target. I think that's the first one we've had of this half. And that kind of says it all, really. We just haven't had the finesse to our forward play, the crispness of the passing that we need. And even there, you know, Zanzala on the right chasing it down. I think he's won a corner, but I mean, it's just, there isn't the precision to the passing. There isn't the cleverness to the movement. Even of a kind of mid-table side like Accrington, who look very, very bog standard. And, you know, there is frustration in the crowd, I think, because Accrington were there for the taking. We were 1-0 up, cruising, hadn't even had to find second gear. And then we've just collapsed. It's been pretty spineless, pretty gutless. Even at half-time, we said, this is the sort of game where it just needs someone to step up. And yeah, the only people who've stepped up have been Accrington, and we've just retreated into our shell. It's not been so much a Jekyll and Hyde performance, it's just a Jekyll and Jekyll performance. Yeah, as Accrington make their final sub of the night, this is, yeah, just petering out into another defeat. So 5 on the spin. I tell you what, Tranmere starts to feel quite big now on Saturday. I think it will, well, it's obvious, but we really cannot afford another defeat, I don't think. So yeah, let's see how we get on then. But for now, we'll leave it at that. Look after yourselves, look after each other. And above all, as always, keep it County.
Well, hold on. No sooner had the fourth official's board gone up than Luke Jeffcott, of all people, has managed to get his first County goal. Tidy finish as well. We had a corner that went straight out for another corner. Then we took a short one. It was pinged in. Evans, I think it was, who got the shot off. And then it came across to Jeffcott, who tucked it away from the angle. The ref and the linesman having a bit of a chat to decide whether it's being allowed. Oh, it's been ruled off for offside. Poor Luke Jeffcott. We're not winning this game anyway, but it would have been nice for Jeffcott to have got something out of it. But yeah, offside. We just can't catch a break tonight. Right, let's leave it at that. Nostar, Balb. Nostar. See you Saturday. Oh!
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.